From NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan.
I'm not your mother. I'm sticking around. I'm not your father. Trying to screw the whole town. I'm not your brother.
There's new music from Margaret Glaspy. Born Yesterday is a three-song EP that comes out today. It is, as she calls it, a bookend to Emotions and Math, the 2016 album that launched her career, a world tour, and wound up on many top 10 lists, including my own. Today, a conversation with Margaret Glaspy about these new songs that not only end one chapter, but has her talking about her next adventure.
Because I was on the road so much over these last 2 years, I kind of had these few songs that I had written on the road, and so it felt appropriate that they felt like a bundle in themselves. It didn't feel like it was really the next record. It just felt pretty intuitive to release them as kind of what I had accomplished since the last one, which was three songs, which I'm very proud of. But it is hard to write on the road, so it kind of was what I was able to do when I was in these situations of being in, like, you know, on a plane, in a bus, in the van, on the train, in the cab, that kind of thing.
I was thinking that you went to school for music, right? You went to Berklee College of Music, am I right?
Yeah, very briefly.
And I was just wondering if they taught a course on how to write music in a van, in a car, in a bus, when you have 8 minutes.
Right.
Did they give you that skill?
They don't prepare you for that. No, that just comes with the territory.
Right, and it's sort of the reality of so many people, the cycle. For those who don't understand the cycle, is you put out a record and then you're on the road for minimally a year and a half, just that. And then you go, at some point you break, then you write another record and you do the cycle again. So what does it do? You've done the other. You've been not on the road all the time and now you're doing this thing. What does it do to your creative process? How does it change the way you write? How does it change the way you think and work through songs?
Well, I suppose, yeah, it is different. It was a lot different than when I was not a professional musician, and I still had to make a living, so still working, but so it wasn't like I could just sit at home all day and just write, but there was a different mentality for sure. I wrote every day. I would show up to it in a way that I could do kind of, it was part of my life in a more constant way, and ironically, now that I do it professionally, I don't write as much.
You have less time.
Because I have so much less time. And I'm also, it's interesting, my boyfriend is a jazz musician, and I feel like when he's on tour, he's able to play music in a way that is really regenerative, and it's always different every night.
He's a, Julian Lodge is a
Julian
guitar.
Julian Lodge, yeah, guitar player. And so there is a difference, I've been realizing that there's a difference when you're a songwriter. People want to hear the songs that you've written and that they've heard. And so you show up to it and, you know, you play your set and you play the records that you've been making. And so it's very repetitive. You're playing kind of a very similar thing every night. And within it, that's the fun part, is you're able to kind of spread your wings and you try and make it exciting every night and try and, when you're entertained, often the audience is entertained. So it's good to keep it fresh, you know, as fresh as you can. But because it's like a kind of a career of repetition in a way, that's like right. What your job description is, it can kind of turn off the certain things that make you a good writer. It's a different, totally different skill set than touring and writing. It's just like performance and writing a song. You're not using the same muscles in your brain. It's totally like a different skill set to me, for sure. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play how about if I just start with the opening cut? We talk about the subject matter of these three songs, which seem interconnected.
Yeah.
Here we go. I'm going to play the EP, Born Yesterday. I'll play Before We Were Together.
Shut my eyes, I don't want to be privy to the look you're giving me when I tell you that I'm never going to be the way you said I would. Shut my mouth, I don't want to say words that'll make you go away, but I also want to make you go away for good. I don't like it any more than you do. I don't like being the bad guy and breaking the bad news, 'cause I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't say. Life was better before we were together, straight to your face. Oh, I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't say. Life was better before, oh, we were together. And I'm gonna be, but I don't wanna be, the woman that goes in history for leaving you, for being too good. No, I don't want to sit in the dark going over it. Or maybe we could laugh it out, but what is there to joke about? I don't like it any more than you do.
Do you remember the seed of this idea? And was it the first of the three songs? Is there any order to how they are on the record as compared to how you wrote?
Yeah, this was actually the last one that I wrote. For sure. And I actually originally wrote this for someone else, and they didn't want it, so I just kept it.
Can we say who that is? Or
no.
No, that's fine. But I was happy to hear in the conversation we've been having that you mentioned your boyfriend, Julian Lodge. Uh-huh. And so it's now I know it's not about you and Julian, which is...
Oh, no, definitely not.
So when you write stuff like this, the word I is there, but it's not about the I. It's about the bigger, it's about the audience receiving a song probably more than anything else. And
yeah, definitely.
Do you remember the seed? I mean, you said you wanted to do it for another person, but...
Yeah, it was originally written for another band. I've been writing songs for other people, which is like a real thrill, and I love doing it because it kind of exercises that muscle that is... not the performance one, it's the one where you just stay really creative and are able to kind of produce a lot of work, which is really my happy place. So mm-hmm. I wrote a song, and in doing that, I'm trying to remember where I was. I was definitely in a hotel room writing the song. It's such a fun thing to write songs where you know, these situations are real, and it's being a songwriter is really, really great because... you just have the world at your disposal and humankind and just all the things that we go through. I'm a big Joseph Campbell fan. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, we all relate to one another. All of our stories are the next person next to you is going through the same thing or has felt the things that you felt before. There's only so many emotions that you can really dig into. So it's fun to show up to a song and just write a song that doesn't necessarily... straight from your diary. Or I think there's such a funny thing about songwriters where everyone thinks that we're like living in pain or something, or that they're, you know, that's the only way that you write songs is by being unhappy. Or there's a lot of things I think that come with little stigmas about songwriting or songwriters that come along with the job. But it can be really freeing and really fun to just write songs that aren't, they're not your baggage, you know. You're an artist and you're making something mm-hmm. out of nothing, which is fun. And that was definitely the song in a nutshell.
For those who don't know Joseph Campbell, he, I guess mythologist might be a word you would call him. And that's...
yeah, like a comparative mythologist was kind of his title.
What is that?
Basically taking mythology and comparing it to one another and finding the through lines. That's like what Joseph Campbell did. Mm-hmm.
When did it occur to you? Because these three songs, as I said, seem very interconnected. The first one is not the better side of love, for sure.
Yeah.
But there is a song on this that is the better side of love. You want to talk about it, and we'll play some of. I assume "I Love You Goodnight" would be that one.
Yeah, sure.
Let's not say I miss you a thousand times. Let's say I love you goodnight. In the morning I'll still be gone. Sing me a love song. I'm rolling around the Midwest, and it feels like the biggest test we've ever taken. take too much to tell. I can't see your face, but I can hear your heart breaking. It's breaking. You told me, baby, go get your break, then push me into a skyscraper. Honey, I did just what he said, and I bought us a feather bed to lie in. Are you crying? I'm calling from the Midwest, and it feels like the biggest test we've ever taken. I know you know the feeling well. It doesn't take too much to tell. I can't see your face, but I can hear your heart breaking. It's breaking.
It must be hard for a relationship between two guitar players who are, I mean, you're both touring musicians. How many days do you see each other a year? My God.
We don't see each other super often, but we travel to one another a lot, which is really great. It's a good understanding since we both do have a very similar job description.
Uh-huh.
It's really fun to, you know, support someone in what they're doing and know that you've got that support back for sure.
Do you ever play together?
Yeah, actually we do. We don't play super often because we're always in our own, you know, doing our own projects, but we have some things like in the works that we're pretty excited about. Mm.
If you and Julian ever want to come and do a tiny desk together,
That would be so fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah, totally. We'd love to.
So at what point did you realize that you had a little trio of songs that work together?
It was actually, I was in China. I was on a train in China, and we were going to, I think, Shanghai on like a 5-hour train ride. And we were thinking about, like, okay, we've got a few songs now, and I was kind of realizing that I wanted kind of a different aesthetic for the record.
And who's the we here? Who's on?
I think it was maybe my manager and I were talking mm-hmm. about it, and just kind of trying to figure out the next couple of years and what they looked like. And it kind of came to us in that moment of, like, okay, I think that this is probably makes a lot of sense, made a lot of sense artistically for me. To be able to kind of be able to still release these songs, even though they didn't belong on the next record, because mm-hmm. I still wanted them to have a home. So the EP felt like a really good place for them to live.
And what is your connection, do you think, between, let's say, geography and songwriting? You're sitting on a couch at home. Would a song come out very different than being riding on a train in China?
I think that things do change slightly, but overall it feels... I'm still working with the same brain, you know, so it all kind of comes out. It's got like the Margaret filter on it because I just can't help but do the things that I do. So uh-huh. I think it's pretty consistent in terms of, you know, where I am.
Can you actually write without holding a guitar in your hand, or
Yeah, I write pretty frequently without a guitar. And I've started to write a little bit with, you know, with other instruments too, in more of like a MIDI world. Also, which has been really fun and totally different.
So for those who don't know the MIDI world, it's basically you take a keyboard and you can make pretty much any sound on the planet, and it will remember the fact that you played a certain sequence of notes and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, so basically I've been working on the computer more for songwriting than I have with the guitar as of late, which has been a really fun departure and has challenged me because you start to do things, you start to get a style, which is appreciated and I think also can be nice and directive in your process where you're like, okay, this is kind of what I do. These are kind of the decisions I usually make on the guitar, and the songs will sound pretty consistent for me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain skill level things that, you know, I suppose everyone in some way has their ceiling and what they're able to do on an instrument. I think that I've been excited to try different things lately because I feel like, I've been playing so much guitar on these tours and it's been fun to try other things, other processes.
And you're a guitar player that basically plays a fairly small amp. Maybe there's a pedal to boost a signal here or there. I don't hear much effect, a little crunch to your sound. You've stayed pretty true. Your sound is unmistakable in its absence of pedals and all the other stuff.
Yeah, I don't really use very many guitar effects for sure.
Right. Well, let's play the one song we haven't played yet, which is the song One Heart, Two Arms.
I definitely wrote this song on tour, and we kind of, it all evolved as a song being played live. I used to play it by myself, and it was completely different chords and a completely different vibe. I was on tour with Tim Cool playing drums and Chris Morrissey playing the bass, and we kind of evolved it into a completely different thing that felt a little more, I don't even know how to describe the style of the song. Sometimes it can feel like a tiny bit gothic or something, and kind of changed the tone of the song quite a bit. And oddly, it feels the most like a love song on this record. And sometimes it's interesting because I feel like it doesn't sound like a pretty love song or anything. It's definitely got kind of a bite to it.
I'm not your mother. I'm sticking around. I'm not your father, trying to screw the whole town. I'm not your brother, I don't need a dime. I'm not your sister, trying to waste your time. I'm not the tax man knocking at your door. Not the damn dog pissing on the kitchen floor. It's about time you knew I'm just what I told you. One heart and two arms just waiting to hold ya. I'm your lover.
Have you done this live, this song?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, it feels like it. I bet this really rips.
It's fun. It's a fun one to play live.
Are you the producer on this, or who's working?
Yeah.
Are you working with?
Yeah, so I produced all this myself. Chris Allen was the engineer, mixed by Tom Schick. And the players were amazing. Daniel Ryan on the bass, Tim Cool on the drums. We recorded it in a day, you know, a day at Sear Sound and on the west side in Manhattan. It was pretty quick, but we'd been playing these songs quite a bit, so we kind of knew what we were doing.
Well, I feel great. And so the new material, you're going to take a little time and work on some new stuff with new instruments? And
yeah, totally. I'm in the process of writing everything right now, and I think it'll be a little bit of a departure from this material, and that was kind of the impetus for putting out this EP. It felt like kind of a bookend on kind of the whole emotions and math journey, really. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a wild ride, and just, you know, never having really toured before, and then just being on the road nonstop for a bit, and now it feels like I've kind of exercised this kind of style of doing it in the trio format and doing it very stripped down. And so I'm excited to kind of try some new things for the next one, for sure.
Well, I'm thrilled for you. I mean, I love the idea of exploration and hearing what's next in your chapter. So thanks for doing this, and thanks for your
thank
music.
Thank you so much for having me, Bob.
Yeah, thrilled. Margaret Glaspie, the new EP is called Born Yesterday. It's out now. You can hear all the songs online at npr.org. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.
I'm not the punch clock working you 9 to 5, or the hanging plant that you can't seem to keep alive. Always some church that's trying to change you. Oh, I'd rather die than rearrange you. You see me looking at you with my heart aglow. Oh, I thought you knew. It's about time you know.